Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. Sittercity.com. Sittercity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, Sittercity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with Sittercity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get Sittercity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. Sittercity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to sittercity.com/xx and get the help you need.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I've got Elliot Orr, and we will soon be joined by Patrick, who are doing research into some fascinating cases. I've been looking at the Mercy Corps scandal since Elliot got in touch with me, and my mind has been blown. It links everything from the Freemasons to USAID, and Elliot and Patrick are going to break that down for us. Also, I've got the links in the description box, Elliot on X, Patrick on Insta, got the Spotify link. So please support the work of these rising stars. So Elliot, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Do you want to just say what got you onto this subject?
Yeah, totally. So my name is Elliot Orr. I'm a 19-year-old journalist. And a few months ago over the summer, me and Patrick were sitting next to each other on a plane. This is the first time we have ever met. And I look over. There's a sticker on his phone. We're going to the same convention. So I start talking to him, and he starts telling me that he was a intern for the granddaughter of J.C. Penney, Alyssa Kenny Geyer, an Oregon state representative, whose husband is the former CEO of Mercy Corps. Mercy Corps is the largest humanitarian organization in the world. They received $2.41 billion from USAID. And a few years ago, there was a very disgusting scandal involving its co-founder doing some not so savory things to his own daughter. And this forced Neil Kenny Geyer to resign as the CEO of Mercy Corps. And he is still a very, very powerful man, despite covering up this terrible R-word scandal involving its co-founder. He is still sitting on the World Economic Forum, and he is still sitting on the Council on Foreign Relations. And the story goes so deep, it connects to pretty much anything you can think of. So we're going to get really deep today.
Yeah, it is. Insane, isn't it, that what went on in his own family?
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. You're never surprised by how gross powerful people can be, but who knows? I mean, it's a real story. It's in the mainstream news. You can look it up yourself, yet somehow whenever we talk about it, we get crazy looks like we're the crazy people. So
I'm putting a picture up right now of Ellsworth Culver.
Yes.
Let me just get this, and we'll get you to take it from there. Let's see. Ellsworth Culver, there he is. And can you just get into more detail, though, on the backstory of Ellsworth?
Totally. So Ellsworth Culver is the co-founder of Mercy Corps, and it was during the 80s that he was touching his daughter inappropriately and some other more terrible things. There was a 9-year-old who is no longer alive after some of the things that were going on with them. And this was reported to the board of Mercy Corps by Tanya Culver Humphrey, his daughter, who was being touched by her father. And there was an internal investigation that decided that these allegations were not credible. And as a punishment, Ellsworth Culver was demoted to the title of vice president. Oh no, how terrible. And a few years later, in 2018, Tanya Culver Humphrey again emailed them and said, I want to, you know, look into this again. Her husband actually emailed them. And they said that they stuck by the initial investigation, that there was insufficient evidence, and they were actually pretty demeaning to her. They were asking, what do you even want us to do to help resolve the issues between you and your father from 24 years ago? And this actually involved up to 8 other representatives of Mercy Corps. And the investigation done more recently that actually resulted in some mass resignations by the board of Mercy Corps, it was done by Louis Free, the ex-FBI director, and he plays a major part in this story. He is known as a cover-up man. He's covered up a lot of terrible things at his time at the FBI, and he was actually named in the Epstein files by Ghislaine Maxwell herself. She asked them to subpoena him to prove that Bill Clinton was innocent. Which I think we all have our doubts about that, right? So this scandal itself, Mercy Corps, it forced the resignation of its then CEO, Neil Kenny Geyer, who was the CEO since 1994. And like I said before, Neil is still one of the most powerful people on the planet, sitting at a very, very important role in the World Economic Forum and their humanitarian organization, and also is currently a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, some other very notable people have also been on the board of Mercy Corps. The former USIP, the United States Institute for Peace president, Nancy Lindborg, was also the president of Mercy Corps just before this scandal came out, serving under Neil Kenny Geyer. The ex-CEO of Twitter, Vijaya Gadde, currently sits on the board of Mercy Corps. And I know, Sean, that you were banned when Vijaya Gadde was on Twitter when she was still in control of that. And my co-host Patrick was also banned thanks to the same Virginia Giuffre tweets. So it is one of these stories that just keeps tying in. And Patrick, who I hope will be in here soon, he worked. Wow, it's almost like I can call that. He worked for Neil's wife, Alyssa Kenny Geyer, and he has some very damaging phone records with Alyssa as well. So we can get into some of these photos that we have off of her private Facebook that implicate Neil in much more than Mercy Corps.
Hold on. Don't put anything on the screen without asking me first, because we can get done the doxing. All right. So, Patrick, thank you for joining us. We've just done an introduction into this Mercy Corps scandal. Could you just, you know, explain to the viewers who you are and what got your interest in this, please?
Well, good morning, Sean. My name is Patrick in Portland. I come from like a high-level military, merit-based diplomacy, law, Irish, noble, American, D.C. family. My mom and her side of the family is like McDonough, which is Black Irish nobility line going back to like Princess Skoda. And I didn't realize a lot of that until recently. The Windsors apparently claim like connection of Princess Skoda, which I probably have more connection than the Windsors because they're more of like the Count Dracula line, but I digress. So my McDonough side of the family is pretty important. There's a lot of dog pass there. My Fitzpatrick side, so my mom is the marrying of the McDonoughs and the Fitzpatricks. My grandma was a McDonough. My grandpa was an Army Ranger, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Fitzpatrick. So the Fitzpatrick line goes back to Henry VIII, where he forced our ancestor Barnaby II to bend the knee. And in turn, he sent his son, Barnaby II, to be educated with the boy King Edward, who he became friends and a good diplomat of. There's even records like with Barnaby I, who had to bend the knee, like became Stockholm Syndrome friends with his abuser and did the lead eulogy at Henry VIII's funeral. I'm sorry if I like got forced to bend the knee and finally the dude who did that's dead. Like, that's the time to like, yo, let's go, boys. Let's it's time to rise again and get our sovereignty back. But they didn't do that. The cousins of the Fitzpatricks that bent the knee rebelled, but they only got thrown in the Tower of London while Barnaby Fitzpatrick was friends with Henry VIII and sent his king to be educated as the whipping boy, i.e. friend or diplomat of the boy king. So there's like weird Stockholm syndrome with the Fitzpatricks. We go back to Henry VIII and even farther, because we were the followers of St. Patrick. Like, that's what Fitzpatrick means. So it's like kind of bizarre that we're still here. And I personally have a beef with the crown. My family came over here on coffin ships, as they call them, during the famine. And the McDonoughs came over before the famine. But regardless, a lot of Irish noble families came over to America because they didn't like the idea of the crown. Even the Fitzpatricks, who like had worked with the crown, i.e. Stockholm Syndrome, for a while, weren't okay with ultimately still working under this. So when anybody had any money to flee that whole system, they came to America. And of course, that was around the time during the heyday of racism in like against Irish people. No Irish need apply. So they had to, like, my family had to like fight to like go through the merit-based like infantry systems, getting shot at on the front lines as cannon fodder. So to understand my story and why I'm so like perturbed about a lot of this Epstein stuff, it's we've known as Irish that the royals are pedophiles for a long time, couple hundred years, you know. So when it comes to the current day, I'm from Portland. My family's like from DC, of course. I got into politics at a young age in high school, like 2011 to 2013. Before I got into politics, I went to military school. I was kind of a skater punk and a little bit of a rebel. So I went to military school, got my act together, got polished up, went back to high school, got involved in politics. That's when I met the groomer, Sam Adams, the former Portland mayor. That'll come up later. He's an important figure to remember. And ultimately, I met Alyssa Cannon-Guyer as a freshman at Portland Community College. I was like groomed by Yale recruiters, but instead I stayed local and went to community college. And actually, that was a better, probably the best thing that could have happened to me, and also the worst, because I ended up meeting and being the intern for legislative intern for Alyssa Cannon-Guyer in my freshman year. And she was the secret granddaughter of JCPenney. I found that out before I even met her. I'm not going to not do my research on who I'm assigned to intern with in politics. So I knew who she was quickly, and I quickly met her husband, who's a weirdo. We'll get into that later. But yeah, for many, many, many years, I understood, if not me, then who, if not now, then when. And I'm one of the only people with the wisdom and knowledge to really understand who these people are hiding in plain sight. And I'm not going to sell out to them ever. I'd rather die than sell out to anybody. So I took the opportunity to probe and ask questions in the Facebook Messenger, getting Alyssa Cannon-Guyer on the record, off the record, you know, kind of two-step, like, hey, we're friends, but also, like, ultimately, like, if you don't do the right thing, like, what do you expect is going to happen? Like, you think I'm just going to sit on this and die and go away? No, I'm the only person in the world that has access to ask you these questions, lady, and you're happy to be one of the most powerful people in the world. So I'm going to get you on the record, off the record. And ultimately, over years, when the Mercy Corps scandal broke, did she really think I was going to sit on that? No, those messages absolved me and make me look like a prophet. So I'm just happy to be alive, and I'm really happy to be here. Sean, you're a great dude. Like, I remember Virginia tagged us in some, like, some tweets a long time ago that Newsweek even wrote some slanderous articles about. And I believe that actually raised the profile of some of those whistleblowers that Virginia was tagging, to the degree that Virginia Gade did not want that to happen. So they started like banning everybody across the board talking about Virginia. So shout out to you, Sean. You've been one of the most intellectually consistent people online, really harping on this issue and really talking about and defending and amplifying Virginia's signal. So shout out to you for never giving up on that. I really appreciate that. But without further ado, I don't want to be long-winded. Let's get into it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And viewers, if you are watching, we've got Elliot and Patrick's links are in the description box. I'll put them in the live chat right now so that you guys can go over to the X, the Instagram, and the Spotify and listen and watch the rest of the work. And I find it fascinating, guys, you know, that from such a young age, you guys have got such insight and you've had this glimpse into this dark world.
It is a dark world, and hopefully we, the people, can make it better, because unfortunately the people in power are all complacent, and we have to take it into our own hands. We have to spread the knowledge. We have to awaken us so that we actually do stand a fighting chance against all of the dark, dark people that rule over us.
We've looked at, you know, what Mercy Corps does a bit, but how was Mercy Corps formed?
Patrick, you want to take it?
So Mercy Corps was founded in, I believe, the 80s, 70s. I can't remember the exact chronology. I've talked to Alyssa Kenningeyer. I've actually confronted her specifically about the founding of Mercy Corps. And actually, it was a Christian organization started by some Christians or something. And then they changed the name to Mercy Corps. And I asked Alyssa about that because she claimed, and I'm like, I don't know what I believe. Spirit. I believe in the grand architect and the universe and spirituality and whatnot. I'm not sure. I don't believe in dogmas. I'm monotheist, I guess, or I don't know. I just believe in all things and that there's a grand creator. But with that being said, I like to question things. I like to have answers to, like, okay, you said this, but why did you do that? Like, okay, it was a Christian organization without the dogma or anything, but why did you change to, like, all this other stuff? And Alyssa responded, said, well, we wanted to work in the Middle East more, so we got rid of any Christian roots. Well, ultimately, if we look at the Yale articles that we'll pull up later, we understand that Neil Kenningeyer literally said in a Yale article that, no, we're working with ISIS, the Taliban, North Korea, and other extremist groups, and nobody has clean hands, so we have to do it, you know? And I was just like, whoa, this guy literally is saying he's working with terrorist organizations. And going back to the message with Alyssa, she said it was founded as a Christian organization. The on paper up front excuse is that they wanted to work in the Middle East so that they had to water down their Christian roots. Well, what working in the Middle East or working with the Taliban? There's a big difference there, you know? And so it was quickly changed under Neil Kenningeyer's leadership from whatever roots of founding that they had.
Yeah, they work with whoever they want when it's convenient for them. And then when it's not convenient, they demonize them. And it's they're all over the place, aren't they, with it? So it was co-opted then for various reasons, Mercy Corps. Is that what you're saying?
Most definitely, from all the research that I've done.
Okay. And how did the difficulties progress from there?
Well, they are known to have, and they've admitted this too. There's videos of Neil talking with Roman Farrow of the State Department under Hillary Clinton, where they admit to having action centers in Benghazi, where they are training the influencers, giving them phones, teaching them how to blog. They basically were one of the forefront organizations which kind of organized the Arab Spring, and obviously turned Libya into something that it is much worse than when they first got there. So they're working in the Arab Spring. They admit that. And they are also working in many other countries such as Haiti. And Haiti obviously is one of the, they're in a civil war right now, it seems like. But before that, after the earthquake, the Clinton Global Foundation went in there and they ripped off Haiti. And Neil Kenningeyer actually was the person who wrote the plan to build back better in Haiti. And I can send you the photo right now, Sean, of him literally at World Economic Forum Davos, I think it was 2011, with the plan behind him. If you want to see that, I can send it to you.
Yeah, so you're going to send that to me by email?
I can, yeah. I can also just, I could put it on the screen if you want me to, but it's up to you.
Let's send it by email first.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
And just for reference, that photo is from Alyssa Kenningeyer. Like, it's from the horse's mouth. It is the granddaughter, JCPenney, taking the photo inside Davos and posting it to her private Facebook, which only the top people in the world that she's vetted has access to. And I was her protege. So I pulled a lot of that information because it's public. When you put it on Facebook, you're asking to, that's pretty much saying it's in the public domain, even if it's private. Like, that's court established. In the courts. So there is so much stuff that she tried to scrub off her Facebook, like the photo of her and Hillary and Bill Clinton, where she was like talking about being affiliated with the Clinton Global Initiative since day one. That photo disappeared after Trump got elected. And that was what made me start looking for all the other information. And when I was looking for that photo specifically, I couldn't find it. That's when I knew she deleted her. She was trying to scrub certain connections to the Clintons because they were afraid what Trump would do to the Clinton Global Initiative, and they were deeply invested. And so I found in that search in 2016 that photo that they didn't scrub, and that's what told me they were dumb, da-dum, dumb, dumb, because like that shows her husband writing the plan to rip off Haiti that Dinesh D'Souza would later do, and Peter Schweitzer wrote a book on called Clinton Cash, and Dinesh D'Souza and Peter Schweitzer came together to do the documentary Clinton Cash. If you haven't seen it, required reading and watching for this episode. It's homework, history, context of what we're talking about, because they didn't even know who wrote The Plan to Rip Off Haiti. And that was a great movie, great book. But do they know who Neil Kennedy Geyer is? He's the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. Let's rip his mask off like Scooby-Doo.
So I'm looking at the photo now. So what I need to do is run it by my lawyer if I'm able to publish this in a future episode. Let's just hold off from doing that right now. But if you guys want to describe to the viewers what's on the photo, that's fine.
Yeah, it's just a picture of Neil Kennedy Geyer in a World Economic Forum breakout room with his name in the top right corner. He is in the photo right in front of him writing on the board, Haiti, Build Back Better. There's some other things in there as well, but those are the main things that the Build Back Better slogan was kind of coined by Neil Kennedy Geyer at a World Economic Forum breakout room. And we can get into their World Economic Forum connections pretty soon. They kind of run it, or at least did. They have front and center seats at multiple different World Economic Forums. That's also from Alyssa's Facebook. You can see them taking pictures front and center right in front of Klaus Schwab and Bill Clinton. So they are the priest class of Davos, as Patrick calls them.
Yeah.
Please do get into the WEF side.
Yeah, man. So like I said, Neil Kennedy Geyer is a leading voice at the World Economic Forum. He actually, I'm pretty sure he ran their humanitarian program for a few years, which is why he had such influence at Davos. And it sounds like, based off of Patrick's messages, is that they actually got to go to Davos for free. Normally, you have to pay $250,000 or something like that to go to Davos. And it's extra insulting to know that the taxpayers via USAID also gave the World Economic Forum millions of dollars, even though these rich people still have to pay thousands of dollars to go there. I don't understand why we have to fund them as well, but it's pretty crazy. Patrick probably has a little bit deeper information since he knew them.
Go for it, Patrick.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. Like, I remember when a couple of years ago, before I even knew what Davos was, like I'm almost certain that like they were trying to insinuate that they would bring me in. But I didn't understand. I was trying to focus on this organization at the time. I was trying to focus on Millennials for Solidarity. It was an organization that I tried to start a while ago, but I'm not really focused on anymore. I try to unify people on the issues like prison reform, drug reform, the issues that politicians really don't want to talk about, but everybody on the grassroots really wants done. And I figured that there was a way to do that through linguistics and language, unifying language rather than partisan language. So I started this organization, Millennials of Solidarity, because millennials really see things very differently than boomers. And we like to come together a lot more than boomers. There's a lot less divide in our generation, especially Elliot's generation. I'm a millennial. He's Gen Z. So like, we all have a piece of the puzzle. We all stand on the shoulder of giants. But at the same time, it's like, I had pretty much like told Alyssa that I wanted to focus on bridge building around the Malheur Refuge standoff with the Bundys. It was in Oregon in 2015. And I said, I really think Kate Brown should de-escalate. She should go shake these people's hand. I know that sounds insane, but she's going to look like a hypocrite to her base on militarized police if she then uses militarized police to attack. And I told Alyssa Kenning, I said, the Republicans from rural areas don't believe militarized police is a problem in their district. I know this because they told me this in the legislature 2 years ago. They won't vote on a bill against militarized police. But now that Burns, Oregon looks like Red Dawn, you know, I think they're willing to come to the table on legislation. And it's not a question, it's a statement, because I already had the Republicans on the back and I already had the conversations. I was messaging them too. I said, are you guys now seeing what I'm seeing about militarized police now that Burns, Harney County looks like Red Dawn? They're like, oh my God, we never thought you'd be right, but holy shit, damn, you're right. Excuse my language. And they were like, yeah, we're willing to come to the table on a bill. So then I went to Alyssa and said, Alyssa, they're willing to come to the table on a progressive bill on against militarized police. Are you ready? And she's like, no, we hate the Bundys. And ultimately, that's much bigger. It was tied to like Robert Mueller's, I believe, like Uranium One scandal. And that's why they put all the force against the Bundys, because the sample for uranium that like allegedly Robert Mueller gave to the Russians on a tarmac through Uranium One, that sample came from Harney County, Oregon. So I was not understanding why there was such hyperbolic response from the feds to kill Lavoie Finicum and like arrest them all. But then I realized years later, oh, that was connected to Uranium One. And they were never going to support Millennial Solidarity's idea to get a bill against militarized police because it was national security level stuff that they didn't want to talk about. But going back to Davos, during that year, I was sitting on Alyssa's couch when I founded Millennial Solidarity in her house. That kind of like harkens back to like how Obama founded his campaign on Bill Ayers's couch. But I don't think Alyssa understood that little like nuance. I'm like, yeah, I'm a family that's out there on your couch. What's up? But she like talked about Davos. It's the first time I'd heard about Davos, 2015. And she kind of like was like, yeah, you know, like really like your energy, but really, really don't like the narrative that you're running with. And, you know, she tried to steer me into the Davos narrative, and she insinuated like, yeah, she was like, I met this young guy who's about your age, and he got to go to Davos, and, you know, he was on a plane and he was networking with somebody also going to Davos. And during that plane ride conversation, the guy liked his idea so much that he bought the idea off the kid for $24 million before he even got and landed to Davos. And I was just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. But Millennial Solidarity over here, though, you know, like I didn't know what Davos was. I didn't know what she was even trying to say. And in retrospect, that might have been an insinuation for a possible, can we see if we can get Patrick to shut up if we dangle a little Davos carrot? But I didn't know what the hell that was. So I nodded and smiled and ignored and pivoted to like, no, we need to build bridges on these issues. Years later, I found out again at 25th, around that same time, a year later when Trump got elected, I was browsing her Facebook again, looking for the photo of her and the Clintons. And I just started finding like all these photos of her in Davos. So we have not just that photo of Neil Kinnegar writing the plan to rip off Haiti, but that is of a series of many, many, many photos that Alyssa snapped and naively put on her Facebook. And yeah, we're talking Ban Ki-moon of the IMF. We're talking like these photos include like people like Bono, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, just all sorts of Sanjay Gupta, like David Gorgon. Like she says David Gorgon's like her favorite person in the world in that photo. And then I'm like, wait, who's that guy? Didn't Alex Jones confront that guy a long time ago, like about Bohemian Grove? And I'm like, wait, he did. And David Gorgon like shrieked like a demon in response to Alex Jones. And like, so he was like pointing at Alex like a voodoo doll he wanted to stab. Like, you are not a gentleman. That is not gentlemanly. Like, we don't talk like that. We don't talk about Bohemian Grove. Like, he was super angry. And I'm like, whoa, that guy's a demon. Like, that's the guy Alyssa is like in a photo with at Davos saying this is her favorite person in the world. Whoa. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff about Davos we could go into, but I want to keep it more concise.
Yeah, we can so get back to, into. Oh yeah, I'm
just to recap for the viewers. Then this is JCPenney's granddaughter. Did you say earlier?
Yeah, yes, that's actually exactly what I was about to get into. You read my mind, because that was a connection we didn't explore too much. So, Alyssa's father is David Geyer, and he was the president of Save the Children in the 70s and 80s. Her mom is Carol Penny, who is the daughter of J.C. Penny, who I think most people know J.C. Penny from the stores. Now, J.C. Penny was a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, and he was at least a 7th degree York Rite Freemason. He won a medal from his lodge, which was the Distinguished Service Medal in Gold. He also donated the mannequins to the Manhattan Project, where they blew the mannequins up in Nuketown. And he wrote the eulogy for Thomas Watson's funeral. Now, Thomas Watson is the head and founder of IBM during the Holocaust. I think that most people probably know IBM's role in the Holocaust, making the punch cards. And there's actually photos of Thomas Watson meeting Adolf Hitler. And this guy wrote the eulogy for his funeral. He actually founded an entire organization with Thomas Watson called 40 Plus. Now, this is the part of the story that I can't really find anything about. So if anyone knows anything about 40 Plus, please message me on X about it, because I am trying to find more information on that desperately.
So Patrick, you know, you said they were trying to groom you at Yale. They were trying to indoctrinate you into Davos. So at Yale, what kind of conversations were had with you where they were trying to get
went
you
to, I got to clarify. I was groomed by a Yale recruiter of the Pacific Northwest who built Mercy Corps' headquarters and did a lot of other high-level projects. I stayed local and went to Portland Community College rather than actually going to Yale. So I didn't go to Yale. I stayed local, but I was groomed by, like, literally the top people at Yale who were in Portland.
Can you remember what specifically what they were saying to you?
For example, like, when I was being groomed, like, in high school before I met the Kenny Geyers, I was at a steak dinner with one of my high-level mentors. And I sort of kind of knew that he was a Yale recruiter, but I also forgot in the moment. I was like, folks, we went to steak dinner, and he was like, hey, man, you know, where do you want to go to college? And I was like, I had a dumb moment, I guess you would say, or a naivete moment. And I was like, I answered honestly without really realizing what the point of the dinner was. It was clearly a dinner to feel out if I was interested in going to Yale possibly. But I didn't see that opportunity. I didn't know what that dinner was about. Thought it was just a dinner between friends and my mentor and I. And he asked the question. I answered honestly. And I said, well, I want to go to University New Orleans, Loyola University New Orleans, because there's a professor there named Walter Block, an Austrian economist, libertarian thinker. And he wrote the book, Defending the Undefendable, one of the cornerstones of libertarian philosophy. It's a great book, amazing. Explores how to take a philosophical approach on defending the most immoral, heinous things. I'm not talking pedophilia or anything like that. Excuse the language. We're going to have to edit that possibly. I know YouTube censors things. It's kind of weird. We can't even say the facts of things without YouTube censoring.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But the dinner was like pretty much about like filling me out of where I wanted to go from here. And I said I wanted to go study under Walter Block because I read his book, Defending the Undefendable. And it was such a fascinating book. That's the professor I want to study under. Well, it turned out that I didn't actually go to Loyola. I stayed local. I went to Portland Community College. But again, I was just kind of steered in a lot of directions by mentors. And they're like, hey, you should apply for the legislative internship program freshman year. And I'm like, what's that? And I didn't really know a lot of local politics. I knew more about the national level. And I was like, didn't even really know what the legislative process was locally. But I was like, yeah, I'm willing to learn. Let's go. And they assigned me to my state legislature, legislator Alyssa Kenny Geyer. And I would later find out that her husband was the president of the board of the Yale Corporation, the governing body of the entire university. So if I would have went to Yale, I would have been fighting to make a name for myself with a lot of Richie Rich, Silver Spoon, arrogant SOBs. And they would not have liked me coming from Felony Flats, Portland, Oregon, even though I have a family legacy of, you know, the McDonoughs and Fitzpatrick's. Go back to Henry VIII. I don't really care about that kind of royalty cult stuff. I'm anti-monarchy and American merit-based. Babies. Ooh. And it actually would not have worked if I went to Yale. There probably would have been some fights. And ultimately, I got groomed by people who are on top of Yale, even though I stayed local. So it actually kind of worked out kind of weirdly.
Why do you think, Patrick, the elites were trying to indoctrinate you? Do you think it was because of your bloodline?
I don't know. I didn't know about bloodline stuff when I was younger at all. So I was isolated from a lot of that. I knew about my grandpa. I knew about quite a bit about that stuff. My parents did divorce when I was young. So my dad raised me, my mom's family with that, a lot of those connections. There was a lot of like forced indoctrination. They tried to indoctrinate me into the Champagne Democrat cult of my mom's family. My uncle's a U.S. ambassador. He put Julian Assange, well, he pretty much like had a hand in putting Assange in jail. So I have a beef with that and that side of the Champagne Dems side of the family, because they are like the Richmond North of Richmond that Oliver Anthony so famously sings about. And they don't even realize the irony of that. But I would say that probably it has to do with bloodlines, because now that I understand that like my family name was given to us by Henry VIII, hello, like that's kind of powerful. And my grandpa, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, like advised Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Pentagon. So many people in my family are buried with high honors at Arlington. it's kind of wild. So even though I grew up in Felony Flats, understanding my story, if you were to watch Game of, are you familiar, Sean, with Game of Thrones?
I've watched a few eps.
I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but if you understand the narrative of Jon Snow, how he was the bastard kid of the North, didn't understand that he was actually bloodline true king. I'm not like bloodline true king or anything, but I've discovered that like I have a book over here of like my whole family genealogy I was given for Christmas with our family crest and everything, and has all the ancestors of Barnaby Fitzpatrick. And I thought we had like one or two castles in Ireland. Well, I guess all the ancestors of Barnaby Fitzpatrick had like multiple castles themselves. So I'm like flipping through like hundreds of pages of all these ancestors. And I'm like, whoa, this really is some like royalty stuff. And so I discovered recently that like, damn, I'm like Jon Snow, like just rediscovering that I have this like rich family history. And my family on the East Coast doesn't want me to tap into that because, again, it backs up what I'm saying. Like my grandma marched on the Pope that later blessed Epstein. And she's pretty prophetic about that. And I'm working with Virginia and folks like you and Elliot to continue those storylines and advocacy against monarchy, advocacy against, you know, all this weird stuff. And so you would think that my uncles, you know, Irish people from Irish noble bloodlines, you would think that they would want to also help their nephew in blowing the whistle on the crown because we have family beef with the crown. But they haven't. They've capitulated to the crown system, and it's just kind of sad.
Wow. Elliot, what woke you up to the Illuminati and the likes of the Clinton crime family?
It was a long process, honestly. I would like to give my thanks to Joe Rogan. He started me on this red pill path, and then I actually was really lucky to have a father who knew some of this before me and was able to, when he felt I was ready to take it, he was able to give me some suggestions on things to look into. But I found a really good book called Solomon's Power Brokers, and it kind of lays out the entire history of Freemasonry going all the way back to Solomonic times through the Knights Templar and the Illuminati. And I honestly haven't done my fair share of research into the Clintons themselves, but I know they are highly, highly implicated and pretty disgusting people, to say the least. There's actually a semi-relevant link here. One of the Clintons' best friends, John Podesta, actually went to dinner with the Kenny Geyers and the entire cast of Grimm. They are actually named in the Podesta emails on WikiLeaks.com.
Wow. So as you're researching this then, and you're coming across Haiti, like the Clintons, they set up the foundation and they said they were raising all this money to help the disaster when it hit Haiti. What do you think they really were up to?
Patrick, you should take this one.
Do you guys remember that bedroom intruder video from like old YouTube when YouTube was first a thing? They're hiding in your windows, they're snatching your people up, hide your kids, hide, like, because they're snatching everybody out here. Like, Laura Silsby? Like, hello, like, what was she doing in Haiti? You guys remember Laura Silsby? She was like busted for like trying to traffic like 33 kids out of like Haiti that were allegedly orphans, but they actually had families and stuff. What's Neil Kenny Geyer? Hey, anybody in the chat, internet, do your thing. Is there a connection with Neil Kenny Geyer and Laura Silsby? I bet there probably is. It's not hard to like research that. But there's so many dog paths with these stories that like, it's like the Lamb Chop song from PBS. If you guys know the old show Lamb Chop, there's like an annoying song. It's called The Song That Never Ends. And it just loops. It's like the terrorizing song of our generation. So like this scandal is just so never ending. It's like, where do you even begin? Where do you even stop?
So just to clarify the viewers then, Laura was stopped from taking kids out of Haiti. And she said that they had no parents, but the parents showed up. Oh, the parents somehow got involved. And this woman was able to get a pass because she worked for the Clintons. And then she later on got a promotion into some kind of child hotline, some charity child hotline. Is that how you understand it, Patrick?
Yes, sir. I didn't want to go too much into it, but you hit the nail on the head, Sean.
Yeah. And Elliot, you know, we see these politicians who are purporting to do good and, you know, be these pillars of the community and stuff. And then you find out things like this. How did it affect your worldview?
It was pretty shocking, to be honest. Obviously, growing up in Portland, I was pretty woke for a long time. I was a kid, so I didn't really look into any of it. But once I did start to look into it, it really just does seem like they hate us. It seems like they lie about almost everything. And I mean, if you look around the world, it, you know, America is supposed to be this great country, but we have people literally slumped over dying in our streets because of fentanyl. And we somehow, you know, and this isn't anything against these people, but we're paying billions of dollars to put illegal immigrants in hotels. And we have veterans sleeping and dying on the street in the cold. It's pretty disgusting. And, you know, it seems at this point we have people in power such as Trump, Pam Bondi, Cash Patel. All these people came in saying that we're going to get the Epstein list. We're going to expose the child transportation, and nothing. We just haven't had any of it yet. So it does seem to me that every single person, every single politician, it's one big club and we are not in it. And they really just they don't want to help us. So that's where I think it's up to people like us to get this information out there and to rise up against it and to just not allow this stuff to happen anymore.
All right. So if you just joined us, folks, I'm with Elliot and Patrick. The links are in the description box. I'm putting them in the live chat again. We have been looking at Mercy Corps, and we took a few tangents, interesting rabbit holes, but we've only got 15 minutes left. So how did this situation unravel for Mercy Corps?
Yeah, so it ended in an investigation by a guy named Louis Free, who was the FBI director under Nixon. And sorry, not Nixon. It was Bush, and it was the person before Bush. It was before my time. I'm blanking on the name right now. But he is known as a cover-up guy in the FBI. He is he is friends with Alan Dershowitz. He actually covered up for Virginia Giuffre, or against Virginia Giuffre involving Alan Dershowitz in 2016. He said that they didn't find any evidence to support any allegations of misconduct involving Alan Dershowitz, who is Epstein's lawyer. Now, like I said before, he was named in the Epstein files by Ghislaine Maxwell, and he did the investigation in Mercy Corps. And after this, Tanya Culver Humphrey, the daughter of Ellsworth Culver, the founder, who's the main guy, everything's pinned on him. And they sued him and Mercy Corps for burying evidence. So basically, she herself is saying that Free was covering this up pretty massively. So the investigation didn't really, it wasn't as, let's say, accountable as it should have been, especially given the fact that back in the 1980s, there was an entire other investigation, and they just chose not really to do anything about it when the claims were obviously clear back then. There's letters from the board of Mercy Corps to Tanya Culver Humphrey saying that her sacrifice is necessary for the good that Mercy Corps does for all the other people. They literally said this. They told her that she's a sacrifice for the good that Mercy Corps does around the world. There's letters from her diary saying that her dad kisses her and doesn't like when she doesn't kiss him back hard enough the way he likes it. It's just absolutely disgusting. And Mercy Corps, you know, even in light of this, they're still operating. I'm pretty sure they were still getting USAID funds. As I was saying, they were getting billions of dollars from them before, and they were also getting massive grants from the Gates Foundation. In 2020, they were getting multi-million dollar donations from the Gates Foundation after this scandal broke, after Neil Kinney-Geyer had to resign. They're still getting big money. They also get a bunch of big money from the Soros Foundation. So, you know, it doesn't seem like Mercy Corps actually took the hit that it should have, given that at least 8 people in the Mercy Corps circle were involved in these crimes against children.
Patrick, it seems like these guys, when they get investigated, there's always a cover-up. It's like when the CIA investigated itself for the importation of the white powder. Does that give you a bit of lack of hope when you see these cover-ups, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. I've been fighting this story for many, many, many years, and I'm never going to stop fighting this because my grandpa was a ranger. He taught at Fort Benning. I'm not going to stop. They're going to have to kill me. Like, I'm not going to stop. on this narrative. So although it is depressing sometimes, it's also refreshing because I've always known that this story is there and it's a massive story that connects all stories. And so I really appreciate you, Sean, for carrying a lot of this weight. You also have a huge piece of the puzzle laying a lot of the cornerstones to, it's like you laid the corner pieces to the puzzle that have helped people like me and Elliot to really understand the framework of what's going on. So although it is depressing, I will not like give up, and I'm actually refreshed to talk to people like you, because I know that the more we talk about this, once it hits critical mass, once we have people on the internet really looking into this, I told Alyssa Kenningeyer a long time ago, before the Mercy Corps scandal broke, I had messages where I sent her, like in the summer of Epstein, like the summer of love in the 60s, 2019 will forever be remembered as the summer of Epstein. And so during that summer, I told Alyssa about Shia LaBeouf's He Will Not Divide Us campaign and how weaponized autists on 4chan trolled him so much that they shut down his event. And then he tried to like resurrect it with a flag in the sky. And I told her, I sent her the link to the whole video breaking it all down of how they found his flag. They crawled up the flagpole, ripped it down like Mario, and hoisted a Kekistani flag. And I said, Alyssa, these weaponized autists online will find anything about your connections, possible connections to Epstein. If you're in his black book, even, and you didn't even know he had your address, that's going to be a problem if that's a thing. And whether it's you or your friends, I'm not speaking just about and to you. I know you're connected to other people who are connected to him, like the Clintons. And so when I told her that, I knew I was telling her to tell her friends. And so it was really weird that she just called me a conspiracy theorist when I was already asking questions I sort of already knew the answer to. She had this blathering response, overextending her defense of Mercy Corps. And like 2 months later, her husband gets like Spartan kicked out of his geopolitical throne in a staff mutiny that he even tried to stiff arm, but he could not stop the global staff mutinying against him. So it's just all really interesting.
Elliot, what do you hope to achieve?
Perfect. I just have one more piece of the puzzle before we wrap it up that I didn't touch on enough, which is the NGO Save the Children. They were recently raided in Guatemala for child transportation, and they seem like they did find some credible evidence, but nothing else has come from it. Mercy Corps works with them under the Global Emergency Response Coalition, also with Oxfam and some other NGOs. As I said, Neil Kenningeyer's father-in-law, Alyssa's father, was the president of Save the Children for the 80s, and he, Neil Kenningeyer, was the director of Save the Children Middle East, Africa, and Europe. There's photos of Ghislaine Maxwell at Save the Children events during the time that Neil's father-in-law was the president, and while Neil was also the director of these regions. She was at an event in England while Neil was the director of Save the Children Europe. So, you know, there's these connections just keep on going. And even if they're minorly kind of circumstantial, the public facing version of it, at least it does show how connected these people are. And it's totally crazy that, out of all of this, and this is what I do hope. I do hope that we are able to kind of demand at least some form of social justice, whether it be, you know, at least getting him off of the World Economic Forum and Council on Foreign Relations. We do not need people like this to make decisions for us on a global scale. And these NGOs that they work for are doing more harm than good. Ask all of the people in the countries, ask the governments of the countries where USAID funnels billions of dollars to buy their state media and overthrow their governments by rent-a-riots. It's terrible. So we, the people, we need to stand up against this, and we need to say no.
And what do you hope to achieve, Elliot, with your conspiracy research?
I hope to at least mainstream this enough, right? I think that we need to get to critical mass, because I do feel like we can shift the Schumann resonance enough where we are able to kind of get through to the quote unquote normal people who just turn their head immediately as soon as they hear anything that they consider a conspiracy theory, right? Just because it's a conspiracy doesn't mean that it isn't real, right? People say it's insane to think that there could be such a small cabal of people that run the world. But when you look at it objectively, there's a government in every country, and almost every single one of those governments are part of the UN or BRICS. So it already is a very small coalition of people who run the world. So I just hope to awaken enough minds where we don't need to give our power away to politicians to make the decisions for us. We, the people, can make them ourselves. The 99% have to unite, because that's the only thing that they're actually afraid of.
Well said, Elliot. Anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers, Patrick?
Yeah, if people like Elon and Pam Bundy and Cash Patel are watching this, like, where are you guys at? Like, Virginia Giuffre herself said before she got hit by that bus even that she was disappointed in that limited hangout Epstein file release where they were dancing around and waving binders. That was insulting because I talked to Virginia. I don't need clout or recognition for that. But there's people there that like have like weird charges on their record who probably shouldn't be talking about women's rights waving binders around. And did they talk about that to Virginia, the victim of? It's like, I don't know, where was Virginia? Why was she not at the White House? And that's one of the things I'm working on is I've sent Virginia some messages about my hope that she comes to Washington. I would love for her to do a documentary. She deserves to have the amount of security that Elon Musk has. She's in the just amount of danger. He travels with 20 bodyguards that are former, special ops. She deserves that level of entourage, star status, and celebrity. She deserves to be put on a pedestal and honored for the hard work and sacrifice she's done. And I don't think that doing just Twitter advocacy is enough. I think that she's not safe. I think that we need to surround her and protect her and help her and amplify her signal in any way we can. But I think it would be great to encourage her to do a documentary called Virginia Goes to Washington. And I think that's really what we got to do, regardless if it's Virginia or other victims in general. The way you do it is you go to Washington, you knock on every single damn door and get them on record. Let's pull a George W. Bush and say you're either with us or you're against us on this issue. And if Virginia was knocking on every door with a camera crew, getting the response of every single senator in Congress, every single congressman, I think we could break the gridlock. Imagine her walking into, the DOJ or FBI field headquarters with like 20 former like spec ops dudes like surrounding her, but in suits, of course, assertive yet respectful. Damn, that would be awesome. And I don't think that's what they expect to happen at all. They'd be shitting bricks if she walked in there like that. Like, yo, I demand to see Cash Patel. I'm Virginia. What's up? I have a documentary crew here as well. What's up? What's going on? So the last thing I'll say is Elon said, we need to prosecute these fake nonprofit leaders. I don't know of any nonprofit leader that's more interconnected in so much heinous stuff than one other Neil Kenny Geyer. So if he's allowed to walk around free and Louis Free is allowed to walk around free, we have a problem, America. And they're in Haiti, Benghazi, like our ambassador, Chris Stevens, got killed. Like, did Mercy Corps have a hand in that, whether directly or indirectly or accidentally? And if so, and I do believe so, that needs to be thoroughly investigated by people like Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence. And if so, if she comes to the conclusion that I've come to, this may be above even Congress's inaction. We may have to have military tribunals of these scumbags. So I hope the last thing I'll say is that Mercy Corps gets completely shut down. Shout out to what Elliot said. They did not get the justice that they deserve. They need to be shut down. And normally I don't believe that USAID should be paying any influencer celebrities, but I would throw them a bone just one time and say, we need to pay Miley Cyrus to come in with that wrecking ball. That building was like heinous. They raped like the co-founder's daughter in that building. I don't even think you can make that building a church or a homeless shelter. Tear it down brick by brick and build something better.
Well said, guys. I've got another show about to start, so I'm going to have to let you guys go. Well, I'll close the show, but we'd love to get you back on. In fact, viewers, put a one in the chat if you'd like to see Elliot and Patrick come back on to discuss whatever they are researching. This is the new generation of truthers. One of the viewers said earlier, it certainly is. And if you want to follow them, the links are in the description and I'll put them in the live chat again now. There you go. All right, guys, you have a great rest of your day and thank you.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Take care, fellas. Cheers. Bye-bye. Yay, phenomenal. I see those guys 5 years from now. They're going to be up there with the biggest, such on-point delivery and broadcasting skills and research. I didn't start getting into all this until I was in my 30s, so they're way ahead of the game. Anyway, we have got 4 hours of grooming gang stuff coming up. We've got ex-cop Maggie Oliver coming on next with two grooming gang survivors. We've got Gemma, and we have got Kate. So this video will take you over to that one. It's going to be the first. We're doing a two-hour show, and we're having call-ins. So if you want to call in with any questions, please do so. And then I've got a two-hour show with Graham Moore, constitutionalist, who's going to be talking about who profits from unfettered immigration and the grooming gangs as well. So thanks for tuning in, folks. Hope to see you in 1 minute or so with Maggie Oliver. So this one will take you over to the next one. Thanks for all your questions as well.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Military veterans and active duty service members. You could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at MyComputerCareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.